It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
We're starting off the show with some huge news in the sporting goods retail world. Bass Pro Shops, which already bought out Cabela's a couple of years ago, announced this week that they have just purchased Sportsman's Warehouse for $800 million. Sportsman's Warehouse and I clawed their way back from a 2009 bankruptcy and expanded across the United States in recent years with 112 sporting goods stores specializing in gear for hunters, anglers, and outdoors enthusiasts. Now, Bass Pro, which already has a combined empire of 169 stores across North America with their Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, will add 112 more stores to its portfolio under the name of the Great American Outdoors Group. It's unclear what's going to happen to the Sportsman's Warehouse stores they're acquiring or to the corporate headquarters staff at Sportsman's Warehouse in West Jordan, Utah. Having said this, just like it did with Cabela's, it's going to take a while until everything is worked out and changes begin to occur. I suspect you're going to see business as usual at Sportsman's Warehouse stores for most of 2021. I've got to tell you, though, I've got a lot of friends who work at Sportsman's Warehouse, and here's hoping they're going to be okay. This week on America Outdoors Radio, we've got some wonderful fresh content for you during a time when most radio shows are taking a Christmas break. In just a minute, we'll be telling you about the nation's premier walleye tournament schedule for 2021, which will also give you some ideas about where you might want to go fishing for marble eyes in the year ahead. After that, this show is going to the dogs. Whether you've got a brand new puppy for Christmas or whether you've got an older dog in your life, one thing all too many of us have to deal with is training that dog to reach its full potential. Whether it's a hunting dog or any other type of dog. Before you get to blind retrieves for ducks, though, you've got to master the basics of obedience, and that's why Jordan Horak with Cato Outdoors will be coming on the air to help you with just that very thing with something as simple as a place board known as a Cato board from Cato Outdoors. From there, we are heading to YouTube, where you'll get to meet a black lab that, let's just say, wasn't the ideal duck hunting dog for a long time. That dog's name is Sam, and if you've got 10 minutes to spare, you simply have to watch the short film, Yeti Presents Sam. Grayson Schaefer, the man who put this film together with his company Tallweg Creative, will join us to give you the backstory about this wonderful little production and the dog that was the star of this show. Last but not least, Scott Brown with Fiat Chrysler will come on board to share some really exciting news about Jeep Wranglers and Ram trucks for 2021. If you're an outdoorsman or outdoorswoman who likes to go places that are a little hard to get to for most vehicles, I think you're going to want to hear what Scott has to say. Next up on America Outdoors Radio, we get to talk to Chip Lear. If you ever turn on the TV and watch the Cabela's National Walleye Tour, you're going to see Chip because he is the TV and stage host for these events. Chip, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me here, John. It's exciting to talk walleye fishing as we wrap up this interesting 2020.
Well, I think all of us are looking ahead to 2021. That includes the Cabela's National Walleye Tour. We've got dates that are out now. Why don't you run through them with us in terms of where the tournaments are going to be and especially where that championship's going to be with some real big payouts?
Yeah, we're really excited that, we're excited we got through 2020, but 21 looks even brighter. We're going to kick off our season on the famous Missouri River. There's lots of places to launch a boat there. We're going to go out of Chamberlain in Oklahoma, Wisconsin, which is probably one of the most premier destinations in terms of times of year, because we're just going to catch a pile of fish, April 29th and 30th. From there, we're going to travel to Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, and fish the Bay of Green Bay at the end of May, 27th and 28th there. And that is probably one of the favored stops, most requested stops that we make every single year just because of the diversity of the fishery. We're going to go from there to the greatest of Great Lakes, Lake Erie, Huron, Ohio. It's usually our biggest weights of the year, as that fishery is rebounding exceptionally well, and the fish are getting bigger by the year, June 24th and 25th, which sets us up for the final event of the season, which is kind of like the playoffs, because
right.
It really matters how you do on these first four events to get to the championship. Mobridge, South Dakota, back on Lake Oahe, part of the Missouri River system, will be the fourth and defining event, July 29th and 30th, which sets it up for the coveted spot, 40 pros, 40 co-anglers, shooting it out September 15th, 16th, and 17th on a natural lake inside the state of Minnesota, about 20,000 acres for them to pick apart there for our guaranteed payout. No entry fee to get into that tournament. Of course, our champion is going to be guaranteed at least $100,000 on the pro side. So it's going to be a pretty exciting year on the National Walleye Tour.
Wow. And that championship, by the way, folks, that's at Otter Tail Lake in Minnesota. This is really cool. But I've got a question for you. You know, when you think of bass clubs and the lower level bass tournaments, usually you've got a team of two anglers. And I've seen that with walleye tournaments as well. But this is a pro-am tour. Why don't you explain to our listeners how that differs from the typical team of two anglers on a boat?
So the pro-am events are really exciting because you individually, randomly pair a pro-angler with a co-angler each and every day of the tournament. So all the anglers get paired up. They fish together on day one. All the names go back in the hat. They get redrawn. In day number two, you fish with a different angler that next day. What's interesting, though, is you carry your weight from day to day. So the pro obviously has their weight. You share the combined weight for the day, but overall, you're competing in two different categories. There's a pro side payout and a co-angler payout. So they're each competing in their own tournaments.
Gotcha. Now, you mentioned the top 40 anglers make it to the championship. So that means you're accruing points along the way at these other four. Do you have people that are signing up right off the bat? I'm assuming you do for all four of these tournaments.
Well, absolutely. The qualifying events, I mean, over the years, for qualifying events, we're awarding right around $2 million a year in cash and prizes to those four events, to the pro and co's. The difference is the championship doesn't cost you any money to enter, where like a regular season event, the pros have an entry fee, co-anglers have an entry fee, and that becomes part of the prize pool. There's no expenses at a championship.
All right. And we should break down exactly what you win for that championship. I was really impressed. Usually most tournaments you see one boat given away, but in this case, you know, the winners in terms of the co-angler and the pro, they each get a boat in cash, don't they?
Yeah, there's three boats we give away. We give away first and second place on the pro-angler side win boats, and then the top finishing co-angler wins themselves a boat. It's really a ever-shuffling, moving puzzle here because depending on the gear that the anglers are operating, there is incentives to run. So if you're running a Ranger boat, so to speak, you get upgraded to a prize package. So if your boat aligns with the prize package and industry or National Walleye Tour sponsorships, basically, it gets upgraded a little bit. So there's all these little varying payouts, but overall, it's a fun way to fish because you get rewarded handsomely.
Well, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. It looks like it's going to be very exciting this year. If folks want to keep up on the Cabela's National Walleye Tour and maybe watch it on television and see your smiling face, how do they do so?
Well, we're on CBS Sports Network, we're on Pursuit Network, we're on Wild TV across Canada, we're on a number of different regional sports television stations. The easiest way to keep up to speed with that is to go to nationalwalleyetour.com, sign up for the newsletter there, and you'll keep abreast of where and when everything's happening. You can also get to National Walleye Tour, and there's digital versions of the programs as well, so you can log on there and get some insight of where, when, and how these anglers are catching fish, because that's really the exciting part about this. We talk about catching fish for money, but what excites me about this is how these top-notch anglers can pick apart a body of water in such a short period of time and find the biggest fish in the system, catch the most of them and end up being crowned winner. It's that process that I find the most intriguing.
It is intriguing indeed, and that's why I'll never be a pro walleye angler. But Chip, I love catching walleye. I love the idea of learning how to be a better walleye angler, and this sounds like a great resource. Again, folks, nationalwalleyetour.com. That's the website to go to keep up on what's happening in 2021 with the Cabela's National Walleye Tour. Looks like it's going to be a great series. Chip, thanks so much for sharing this with us today, and have yourself a happy new year.
Thanks, John. Happy new year to you as well.
The Dalles in Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores, plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
This is the time of year to get out and cook out. So make your next meal sizzle with Camp Chef, the brand known for quality outdoor cooking. From camp stove to cast iron, from smokers to grills, Camp Chef will change the way you cook outdoors. To eat like a king on your next adventure, go to campchef.com or visit your local sporting goods store and get cooking. Whether you're serving breakfast in the backcountry or barbecue on the back patio, savor the simplicity with Camp Chef. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. I know that some of you listening today bought a puppy for Christmas. Some of those puppies are going to grow up to be gun dogs. Some are just going to be companions and house dogs, or maybe they've got some other task. Well, whatever kind of dog you have, you want to make sure it's an obedient dog, and that's why we've got Jordan Horak on the line. He's the man behind Cato Outdoors. He makes Cato boards, which will help you train your dog to be steady and obedient. Jordan, hope you had a good Christmas. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I did have a good Christmas. I hope yours was good as well.
It was fantastic. And even though my pup is now 8 years old, that's lying at my feet right now, that dog can still use some obedience training too. Let's get back to the young pups, though, that a lot of folks have just bought.
Yeah, and it's never too late, John, just so you know. It's never too late. Let's talk about puppies.
Yeah, we'll focus on puppies first. For the person who's got this puppy, the first 3 months, I know, is really formative for that dog. What can owners do to make sure they're going to get the best bang for their buck when it comes to an obedient and well-trained dog?
That is a great question. I'll try to keep it short, but I remember when I got my first hunting dog and I got this little puppy and I thought, one, I'm going to break it. Two, I have absolutely no clue what I'm doing. So there was frustrating moments. The end product maybe wasn't quite what I wanted. So I know, boy, those first few months are so, so important. If I could give any advice to your listeners out there, one, I would say, have the right mindset. So when you bought that puppy and you brought that puppy home, you immediately became a dog trainer. Maybe a bad dog trainer, maybe a good dog trainer, but you became a dog trainer. So same as if you have a child, you become a parent. You might be a bad parent, you might be a good parent, but you became a parent when you had a child. Same with when you brought that dog home, you became a dog trainer. So have that mindset when you're interacting with that dog, you're the trainer. So the puppy did not become the master of your household the moment it came through the door. That puppy became your student, you as a trainer, when it came through the door. So keep that in mind. That really helps, I think, with your sessions, just having that mentality of I'm the trainer. It adds confidence. You'll be more productive. The other thing is we need to make sure that with that puppy that we focus on the little things. So everybody out there that gets a hunting dog, I shouldn't say everybody, but most people out there, when they get a hunting dog, they have all these grandeur plans of this dog that is just a hard charging bird finding monster. And that's great. And I hope your dog turns into that. But if that's all it is and it doesn't have any brakes on it, as far like slowing down brakes, you're going to have some really frustrating hunts ahead. So if you've got a well-bred hunting dog, you really need to focus on getting control with that dog before it turns into too much of a handful. And that starts at a young age, little things like making the dog wait before it gets food, making it wait before it goes outside, making it wait before it comes inside. Little control things like that pay huge dividends later on.
Here's a question when it comes to the length of training sessions. I've always heard 10 minutes is about the max you want to go, and I've kind of seen that because most dogs I've owned, they have a pretty short attention span.
Yeah, so another good question. I don't think of training so much as duration as much as I think of it as related to the task. So I don't need to go out and train for a half hour or an hour. I need to go out and train just enough to accomplish one thing. As humans, we have much more complex minds. We can learn 10, 20, or 30 things in an hour, and we may retain most of those things. Animals think on a much more simple level. So if we can break those sessions down into one tiny thing, whether that's sitting by my side or giving me eye contact or delivering to hand, if we can break it down into one little thing and we go out and do that session, we just focus on that one little thing, the time doesn't become as much of an issue because we're not trying to accomplish a whole curriculum. We're just trying to get through one page, if that makes sense.
You're listening to America Outdoors Radio. We're talking to Jordan Harock. He's the man behind Cato Outdoors, and you make something called a place board. Now, place boards have been around for a while. Yours are a little different. Why don't you explain what a place board is and then talk about exactly what your place boards look like?
Sure. So you were right. Place boards have been around for a long, long time. All that they are is a platform for training animals, like literally a stool or a platform. They were used years ago in the circus for lions and tigers and elephants. In the dog world, they started being used, I think, in the mid to late 80s. They're used for a variety of things. Initially, like the first step really is just teaching that dog, hop on this place and you get a reward. So you can take a little puppy, say an 8-week-old puppy, and teach them, when you jump on this place board, you get a treat or you get a retrieve. And pretty quickly, that puppy is jumping on the place board, waiting for their treat. And once you have that established, then you can, there's a whole host of other things you can do. So you can teach that dog to sit there and remain motionless while waiting for a retrieve. You can teach it to go from one place board to another place board if you're teaching quartering. You can use it for handling drills, for blind retrieves. You can use it for obedience things like, hey, I want you to sit next to me in a nice line, or I want you to sit in front of me. So really, it helps with positioning. And what we find is that animals are so oriented toward those places. And I'm not 100% sure why their brain works that way. I kind of think it's because when they sit there, they know that they're where they're supposed to be. And also, we know where they're supposed to be. So I think it just creates a more relaxed environment. But dogs definitely gravitate toward them. So the Cato boards really just took an existing concept of a training platform, and it made it a little bit better. So the Cato boards are stackable, they're lightweight, they don't rot, they don't retain odor, they look a lot nicer, they're going to last a lot longer. So it really is just an improved design on an old concept.
I like the fact that you can use like an individual Cato board. And one of the things you mentioned on your website that I thought was wonderful is like when people come to the door, my dogs immediately rush to the door and I try to open the door and the dogs are all over whoever's there. If you have one of these Cato boards, you can literally train them to go place on that board and they'll sit there and they won't do that. Likewise, you have multiple boards you can use for different training concepts, especially when it comes to hunting. I was watching one of your videos where you're using two boards for quartering drills, which also introduces dogs to the concept of hand signals too. Very brilliant stuff.
Yeah, and the great thing about it, John, it's really simple. Like I learned how to do this stuff in my backyard when I lived in town with really just a medium-sized backyard. I was no expert on it, but it really is easy. And that's kind of one of the things I've become I don't know if you'd say a spokesperson, but I really want people to understand that you don't have to have a ton of time. You don't have to have a ton of space and you don't have to have a ton of experience. Like if you just go out in your backyard and you have a plan, you have a little bit of an idea of what you want to accomplish and you've got the right tools, there's a ton of things that you can do in your backyard that is going to make your dog into a better pet. It's going to make it into a better hunting dog. It's going to be, you're going to feel better because you're going to feel like you're actually doing something with your dog and helping it reach its full potential. And everybody benefits just from little sessions in the backyard.
The Cato board will certainly help with those little sessions in the backyard. And like you said, turn that dog into one you're going to be really proud of in the field and at home as well. Last question, where can folks buy a Cato board besides your website at Cato, CatoOutdoors.com?
Right. So the website has them, and then most online hunting dog retailers have them as well. So Gun Dog Supply, Lion Country, Soggy Dog. I mean, if you've got a place that you go to online frequently to buy your hunting dog stuff, just do a search for Cato boards and likely they will pop up.
Well, lots of places to buy a Cato board for that new pup, or maybe like me for my older pup. And if you want to see some really good videos that'll give you some great ideas on how to use these Cato boards for training, just go to CatoOutdoors.com. That's CatoOutdoors.com. And by the way, got to give credit to the folks at Purina. They're the ones that steered me towards Jordan. They also make some great dog food for your hunting dog or any active dog. Personally, I think that Purina Pro Plan is one of the better foods you can give your dog in case you're interested. You can find Purina Pro Plan at just about any grocery store and pet store around the country. Jordan, thanks for sharing this great advice with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thanks for having me, John. I appreciate it.
Ready to step up to a quality-built rifle or shotgun that's a true classic? Check out Henry Repeating Arms, American-made. There's over 200 models to choose from in a variety of finishes and calibers for hunters and target shooters. Many of these are lever-action models with a look right out of the Old West. Don't be deceived, though. Henry Repeating Arms are modern, rugged, accurate, reliable, and have a lifetime guarantee. Find out more and order a free catalog today at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand access to the outdoors. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.org.
It's time to tell you a story. It's both an audio story and a visual story, and it's all about a black Labrador retriever that's a duck dog that goes by the name of Sam. Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We just told you about training your new pup that you might have gotten for Christmas, but maybe you're a person who's got an old dog, maybe sitting next to you right now as you're listening to this show. If you do, I've got to send you to YouTube, and I'm going to have you look up a short film by Tallweg Creative. It's called Sam. It's presented by Yeti. Just type in Yeti and Sam, and you're going to see a 10-minute film about a duck hunter and a stubborn black Labrador retriever that is absolutely going to have you in tears. You're going to love it, though. With us here to tell you more about is the man who put this together, Grayson Schaefer. He's a partner with Tallweg Creative out of New Mexico. He and the Tallweg team, they tell compelling stories about the outdoors and individuals who are passionate about the outdoors through these wonderful short films they put together. Grayson, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, John.
Incredible movie. Absolutely love this. Probably one of the best short films I've ever seen. It had me bawling. I'm a 57-year-old man who's an ex-cop and military officer, and you've got me sitting there in front of the computer with tears streaming down my face. This is really good stuff you put together here.
Well, I think it's all just part of our larger, deeper plan to help outdoorsmen become more in touch with their emotions.
You certainly did it with me, and I'm pretty sure you can do it with a lot of our listeners, too, when they check out this film. Question for you, how did this film involving a Missouri duck hunter named Steve Cayley, his son, and this stubborn black Labrador named Sam, how did this all come together?
The Cayleys have an interesting relationship with Yeti coolers. Their nephew is one of the guys at Yeti, and he had been telling us for years about, you know, this sort of secret little duck hunting spot that his family had up in Missouri, and that he would go up there, and that these guys, you know, that they're not professional duck hunters, they're not sponsored duck hunters, but they just live and eat and breathe it pretty much 365 days a year. I mean, if they're not out there, they're duck blinds hunting during the fall and winter, they are in there, you know, doing conservation and upkeep and trying to just make it even better for the next year. And so he just thought that there was something up here that we needed to come and take a look at. And so we headed up there one July, and they had this beautiful old black Labrador female, Sam, who was, you know, near the end of her career. And we just thought, you know, hey, let's follow this dog during what will probably end up, you know, being one of her last seasons.
You know, it was really interesting how you put this together. And I had to watch this like four or five times before I started figuring out myself. When you watch the 9-minute film for the first time, you feel like you're spending several seasons with Big Sam, watching him go from a burden in the duck blind to a contributor out there to, you know, getting Sam one last retrieve before he retires. I know you didn't spend several seasons doing this. It's just the magic of film made it feel that way. How long did you actually spend putting this together?
We actually did follow Sam over the course of a little bit more than a year. And not to give too much away, but I don't think we understood where we were in this dog's lifespan. And the nice thing about that is that you just kind of get this sense of a guy who, like a lot of duck hunters, wants to sort of think of a dog as a tool and, you know, dog as a conservation tool. But, you know, even the hardest of hard men can't keep from falling in love with their dogs. And I sort of have this feeling, just because it's happened to me a bunch of times. And, you know, if you're sitting alone in a duck blind, a lot of times you end up telling your dog things that you wouldn't even tell other people. And, you know, the dog's always there. And the other people in your life, they come and go, and they're not necessarily there all the time. They go to work, but the dog is always there. And so I think people create a bond with a dog that is almost sort of, you know, a window into their own sort of inner psyche that I think is really powerful.
Grayson, spoken like a true duck hunter, that is for sure. You know, this movie, like I said, it does have a real sad part. It also has a very hopeful and happy ending to it, too. But, you know, you really strike some emotions with it, to include with Steve Cayley. And you can tell this wasn't acting. I mean, this was heartfelt on his part. How do you capture moments like that in what must seem like an artificial setting from the outside looking in?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that we really try to do is to find real people who are doing their thing, and we try to come into their world with a really light touch and really just sit down and have a conversation with them and try to draw out, you know, their empathy and their personality so that they pretty soon forget that the camera's there, and then they're just having a conversation with you, and then you're just two guys talking about the thing that you love, and then the magic happens.
You're listening to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We're talking to Grayson Schaefer. He's a partner at Tallway Creative out of New Mexico. He put together a fantastic short film, and you can see it on YouTube. Just look up Yeti Sam. You're going to see a fantastic, heartwarming, and tear-jerking story about a stubborn black Labrador retriever. I'm telling you, you've got to spend 10 minutes to watch this film. Question. This is presented by Yeti Coolers, and there's some real subtle product placement in the film, but you never hear Yeti mentioned at all. You see that it's presented by them in the opening. You see that subtle product placement, but that's it. This is really just a story. It's a very masterful storytelling piece of content. Is this the new normal for advertisers? And if so, how does this benefit the brand versus the standard infomercial that we're so used to seeing?
Gosh, I wish that this was the new standard. And I think that, you know, a lot of times people will give us some love about, you know, about how subtle the branding is and what a light touch Yeti has. But I mean, Yeti is really one of the very few companies that is willing to take these kind of risks and to really trust filmmaker types to go out and just make the best story that they can, and not to sort of make it adhere to the brand book or the, you know, a brief or a treatment necessarily. It's really more about finding those amazing characters and figuring out the story and letting the story drive the narrative. And I can't tell you how many times we've had other companies call us up and say, hey, we want what you do for Yeti, only, you know, we're going to need a lot more product placement. And you know, I think that to Yeti's credit, they just understand that if you treat the viewer and treat the audience with respect, and you have a light touch, that's going to come back around for you.
Well, I think Yeti is definitely doing it right. And this isn't the only short film you've produced for them. You've produced some other real, real good ones. There's one, I believe the title is Carter, about a hardcore fisherman who spends time in Costa Rica. That's just another masterpiece. What are some of the other ones that you've produced for them?
The very first of those Yeti Presents was about a boatwoman in the Grand Canyon who was trying to move from being a baggage boatman to rowing a dory. We did one on a skier named John Shockley who lived up in Silverton in a 200 square foot cabin and was a ski guide all winter. We did one on a fishing guide named Mark Engler, who's kind of out of Durango, Colorado, and spends his days guiding for trout in the summer and then guiding ducks in the winter. And, you know, there seems to be kind of a theme emerging. We kind of laugh that, you know, we're out there telling the story of the lonely man whose wives have all left him because he, you know, won't give up his sport. But, you know, I guess the glove fits, if the shoe fits, we'll wear it.
Well, they're masterful stories, and folks, I can't recommend them enough. Again, just check out Yeti Presents. Number one, check out Yeti Presents Sam, and then from there, go through these other wonderful films that Yeti has available for you, all done by Tallweg Creative out of New Mexico. And check out tallwegcreative.com because they've got other clients, too, they've done some great films for. We've got to go, but Grayson, very well done. Looking forward to watching more of your films and hearing more of the wonderful stories that you share with us out here on YouTube and other platforms too.
Thanks so much for having me, John. It's been fun.
Looking for the perfect gift for the hunter or shooter in your life? Give them a Henry. These American-made lever-action guns shoot straight and have a classic Western look. Choose from a .22 caliber Henry for plinking, a heavier caliber for hunting, or even a shotgun for birds and small game. Better still, these guns come in all sorts of finishes, covering everything from use in the field or on the range to showing off the best-looking firearm in your zip code. Henry rifles and shotguns come with a lifetime guarantee. And if you help need deciding what Henry is right for you, just ask. The award-winning customer service team at henryusa.com will be happy to help you out. So, go to henryusa.com and order a free catalog and holiday gift guide. Then, find what you like, look for a dealer near you, and get a gift that will put a real smile on someone's face this holiday season. Start searching for your Henry now at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com.
Immerse yourself in a complete Alaska wilderness experience through Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Up to six of you will spend a week in a beautiful waterfront log home in a secluded cove. Every day is a new adventure. Go on a guided fishing trip or haul in a bounty of shrimp and crab. Visit a Native American village where totem poles are carved. Go on a whale or bear watching trip and return back to your very own place at the end of the day. Find out more about the Alaska Wilderness Experience at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com.
Shiloh Inns are open and ready to welcome you back. Hello, I'm Mark Hemstreet, owner of Shiloh Inns. While we practice social distancing, we're still always committed to providing clean, safe, comfortable rooms and friendly service. Shiloh hotel guests and employees deserve the peace of mind knowing that we are always focused on maintaining high standards of cleaning and safety practices. Our American spirit is alive and strong, and while we're all going through these unprecedented historical times, we can face these challenges together. Although we may wear face masks, there are no restrictions on still making travel memories for business or pleasure. So book your next stay with confidence by calling 1-800-222-2244 or visit our website at shilohinns.com. Shiloh Inns, affordable excellence. American family owned and proud of it.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
Attention homeowners, spending more time around your house means you're putting more stress on major appliances that keep your home running. Like many Americans, a major breakdown could be very costly during these uncertain times. AC unit goes, that's $4,500. Water heater breaks, $1,500. When you own a home, it's always something. If you have a home warranty, those repairs could cost you nothing. A Home Service Club warranty pays for the repair or replacement of your home appliances and systems when they break down, even from normal wear and tear. For about $1 a day, you can cover your home appliances and systems. It's not a question of if they'll break down, it's when. If you call now, you'll get your first month free and $75 off your first year. Make home appliance repairs one less thing to worry about. Call 800-259-1604 now for your free quote, free first month, and $75 off your first year. 800-259-1604 now. That's 800-259-1604. Again, 800-259-1604.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz, and this portion of the show is brought to you by WorkSharp. They're the folks that make those wonderful knife and tool sharpeners out of Ashland, Oregon. That's right, made in the USA products, and they work great. Whether you need to sharpen your knives and tools in the shop, in the kitchen, or in the field, they've got what you need. You can find their products at big box stores and hardware stores all over North America, especially the big sporting goods stores, but you can also shop online at WorkSharpTools.com. And this is the week to do it. Here's why. We've been telling you all year about the coupon code radio, and that when you use that, when you check out, you get 30% off your entire order plus free shipping. Well, that fantastic deal is ending December 31st. So if you've been putting off the purchase of WorkSharp products at WorkSharpTools.com, you better do it quick. This offer expires at the end of 2020. Next up on America Outdoors Radio, we've got Scott Brown on the line. He is the Western Region PR Manager for Fiat Chrysler. That is the corporation that makes vehicles like Ram trucks and also Jeep products as well. And there's a lot of interesting stuff happening with both product lines in 2021. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you back on the air. And I reached out to you because really exciting news from the Jeep line. Jeep is going electric with some of their models.
Yeah. We're going full hybrid, plug-in hybrid, no less, which means it's going to be electric first. We've had some mild hybrids in the lineup, but there's been a progression. And yeah, first quarter of next year, we'll have a plug-in hybrid Wrangler in the market.
What's the demand for a hybrid Wrangler? You know, I think of Jeep Wranglers, I think of 4x4ing in the back roads. You're really going to see a lot of that use, do you think?
We're seeing a huge spike in interest in electrics. More and more people are accepting. The infrastructure is getting better and better. I mean, if you think about an electric motor, very quiet and then instantaneous torque. So think about being in the backcountry and think how great it would be to have something that's very quiet, a powertrain that's propelling you through the wilderness very quietly and without having to rev up a motor to get to the engine. So we feel that electrics and Wrangler are going to go hand in hand. We've had a lot of customers that have been asking us for it. And so, yeah, we feel the time is now.
The one silver lining of our pandemic has been the great interest in outdoors recreation. And I'm guessing a lot of folks are buying Jeep Wranglers and they're trying overlanding and off-roading. Question for you, and excuse me if it sounds dumb, why is a Jeep, especially a Wrangler, better suited for these mountain goat trails versus a standard 4x4 SUV?
Most SUVs and most of the ones that have become popular recently are nothing more than glorified station wagons, right? And with not a robust powertrain, not a robust chassis or suspension, not good ground clearance. They're great for inclement weather, slippery roads, maybe some snow. But when you're going back into the mountains, a lot of things you want to do is you want to be able to go slow. You want low speed. Wranglers have a transfer case, which is basically going to have the speed you can go, gear things down, give you more power at a low speed. The Wranglers have good ground clearance to get you, you know, over rocks and over crevices. They've got good approach angles and departure angles so that you're not going to drag your belly or you're not going to hit your bumpers. So there's a lot of thought that goes into not only making them robust, but giving them the clearance, giving them the strength, gearing them down, and all all of those things enable you to safely, you know, navigate, you know, getting into your favorite fishing hole or hunting place. Really, a lot of thought goes into that. So that's one of the reasons Wranglers and trucks, for that matter, are so popular with hunters and fishermen.
Speaking of Wranglers and trucks, like the Ram 1500 and the other Ram trucks that you sell, you know, obviously at the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of manufacturing was shut down, not just for Fiat Chrysler, but for all the car and truck companies. Are we back online? Is inventory back in stock? Are we caught up at this point for the new year?
We're getting close, but you know, yeah, you don't stop making products for 2 months and then just turn it back on. I mean, even when we started making vehicles again, it's a slow process. There's a lot of new regulations to do it safely. And so we're close, but we're still struggling to be back to where we were pre-pandemic. Again, a lot of things have changed to make it so that we can, you know, make a vehicle safely, we can sell a vehicle safely. You know, rules have been rewritten, and it's been an interesting, exciting year because you've got to do things new.
Yeah, it's a strange new world, that's for sure. However, one thing that's remained consistent is the Ram 1500 and the fact that for the third year in a row, they've been named by Motor Trend as the truck of the year. How do they keep dominating the competition?
You know, trucks have been, you think about trucks, you know, for 50, 60 years, it's been the same formula, you know, wagon, you know, leaf springs, but, you know, basically just throwing a few little things to trucks to make them a little bit better. Ram is kind of, you said, you know, we're going to reinvent. We're really going to push the envelope when it comes to a suspension. We use coil suspensions. We're the only truck manufacturer that uses coils as opposed to leafs on our 1500s. Gives you a much better ride. So when you look at the safety and the technology and the Uconnect systems that, you know, Bluetooth, when you look at all of that stuff that we put into our trucks, you know, diesel motors, again, a mild hybrid powertrain. So they've just been, whether it's our light duties, which are the 1500s, you know, half tons, whether it's the heavy duties. And then this last year we won with the TRX, which is, you know, a 700 horsepower desert off-road racing truck with fully automated suspensions. You know, they've just been pushing the envelope, just not resting on their laurels, really, really pushing to improve their trucks. And safety tech, powertrain tech, infotainment tech, you know, the status quo is not happening at Ram right now.
Well, congratulations are definitely in order. I'd love to talk more and get your take on one other subject, too, before we go, though. Tailgates. You know, the standard tailgate for a pickup truck, it's not so standard anymore. You're doing some new things now, aren't you?
Yeah, well, that's a perfect example of, you know, a tailgate's been a tailgate for 100 years. Well, now it doesn't have to just be a tailgate. So, you know, we have a tailgate that not only does it drop down like a typical tailgate, but it also breaks in half like a barn door. So it opens right, it opens left. It splits in the middle, or, you know, it's basically like a 70-30 split. And the nice thing about that is, like, if you have something deep in your bed, now you have the tailgate down, you can't reach over it. Now you go, the tailgate clears to the side and you can reach in. And it also maintains, you know, some of our competitors have some trick tailgates, but they lose the capacity to hold something. If you put something heavy in that bed, you know, that tailgate needs to, when it's down, it needs to be able to hold that. You know, we still have a monstrous amount of payload that can rest on a tailgate. That's something that you want to look at if you go after one of these trick tailgates.
That's good to know. Innovative indeed. You'll find innovation galore from Ram trucks and from Jeep as well. So check out the new electric hybrid Jeep Wrangler. Check out the Motor Trend Truck of the Year for the third time running, the Ram 1500, and some of the other models that you heard about as well. You can do so at your local Ram truck dealer or your local Jeep dealer. You know there's one near you. Scott, thanks for sharing this great innovation with us today on America Outdoors Radio. As we wrap up our show today, it's probably a good time to take a look back a little bit and to look ahead as well. You know, it was not good for outdoors people or just about anybody else in March and April and a good portion of May when a lot of our public lands and parks and places we love to recreate were shut down. And in my home state of Washington, they went further than that. They actually shut down fishing and hunting in the entire state for over 6 weeks. After that, though, they discovered that, geez, being outside is actually one of the best things you can do, not just for your mental health, but also to avoid getting COVID. So lots of folks have rediscovered the outdoors. We have seen record usage of our state parks and national parks and Forest Service campgrounds. RV sales and rentals have been through the roof. More people are fishing on the water than I've seen in years, and even hunting got a big bump. I understand there was a 9% increase in participation this year, something we haven't seen in about 20 years now. Put it all together, and the outdoors got a little more crowded in 2020, but we got a whole bunch of people back in the fold and into the fold for the first time, and that bodes well for the outdoors, because the more people that are fishing and hunting means the more people are investing into our outdoors as well, through the taxes they pay and through an appreciation for what we all enjoy when we're out there. It's time to go, and like the rest of you, I'm really looking forward to 2021. We've still got a few rough months to get through, but I'm hoping that by late spring or early summer, things are going to be back to something approaching normal. And normal after a year like this sounds plenty fine to me. Here's wishing you many blessings as we end this new year. Here's hoping you've got good health in the year ahead. And here's hoping 2021 brings you not only good health, but much happiness too. One way you can get some of that happiness, at least as far as I'm concerned, is by spending some time outside. Whether it's in a duck blind, whether it's in a tree stand, whether it's in a boat or on a dock or just hiking a trail or walking on the beach, these are all things that are good for the soul. So with that in mind, enjoy the last week of 2020. Have a happy new year, and remember this, it is your country and you're outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.